This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into pudding! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
Hi everyone, it's Dave Denton from Turnbuckle Trash. Got a great show lined up for you today with me and Chris Evans. We're going to have a special look at another podcast that had Vince Russo on, talking about none other than DCW Wrestling out of Salt Lake City. But before we get into the main part of the podcast, I found something just a few days ago that I don't think we ever put on the air. One day I was just having fun with my recording equipment. I put together some great catchphrases from wrestling mixed together with Thunderstruck by AC/DC. So before we get into the main part of the show, let's get a little AC/DC.
But who has the best catchphrase of all time? Well, there have been a lot.
Who's got the best catchphrase?
Yeah!
Yeah!
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be. To be the man, you gotta beat the man, and I'm saying, woo, right here in Nashville, Tennessee, pal, I'm the man. And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
The Rock gets a hold of you, he's not gonna put you in an arm bar, a candy bar, a monkey bar, a topless bar. Oh, it doesn't matter what type of bar it is.
Are you ready?
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for ya! Woo! Woo! Woo!
One more!
Woo! Hey, don't you wrap me up, baby! I run the company now! Woo! The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be!
The catchphrase is the cornerstone to being a great wrestler.
You will rest in peace.
What kind of catchphrase is that?
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass. Who in the blue hell are you? Because I'm the Miz! And I'm...
And what it all comes down to is this. Money isn't everything. It's the only thing. And everyone has a price for the $1 million man.
What?
I want everybody to know why I'm beating people for a five count. Because I want you to know, when you're in a ring with King Kong Bundy, I want anybody, whether it's the Junkyard Dog, Jimmy Snuka, Hulk Hogan, when you're beat by Bundy, I want you to know you've been beat.
Because you take a look at all these pencil neck geeks out here.
Woo. Have no fear, the son of Plumber said, what's going on, baby? What can I do for you?
Thank God you're here.
That if you're going to watch wrestling, you have to have your own catchphrase.
What a rush!
What you gonna do, Macho Man, when the whole world full of Hulkamaniacs destroy you?
It's just a melody!
is cooking.
Woo! Woo!
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
You can't see me. You can't see me. What are you playing, peekaboo?
Look over there at the dressing room door, and you're going to see Hacksaw stop Bonato with my hair going this way, my eyes going that way, and sweat going every which way. But just one thing on my mind, and that's to beat you up. So don't expect no wrestling, man. No takedowns, no go behind. It's going to be a fight, and you're going down, tough guy.
Woo! Woo!
Ambrose, Rollins, Reigns will believe in the Shield.
We're just getting started.
You can go back to just being you instead of a one-dimensional character with a silly catchphrase.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
You know what day today falls on? What day is today?
Rusev Day!
What day is today?
Rusev Day!
What day is today?
Rusev Day!
Every single day.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell.
All right, so Vince, you know we are dirtier than dirt sheets. You know, we went to the community colleges, we got our 3-week degree in journalism, you know, so we can compete with all these guys that are out there, you know, Keller and Meltzer and stuff. So we wouldn't be doing our due diligence if we didn't get a hard-hitting story and something topical to ask you right now. So earlier, you know, you were fired up. I'm thinking I'm going to fire you up again. I'm going to play a clip from Jim Cornette's podcast for you to comment on. Are you ready for that?
Oh, God. Go ahead.
Here we go.
I got an email from Jeff from Ogden, Utah, who says Shitstain is now producing a show here in Utah. I hate to give it publicity, but the name of it, it's, I've got to read this name, Devotion Championship Wrestling. He's still trying to milk the goddamn. That's much like ice cream and battery acid go together. So do religion and pro wrestling. And he's 15 years later. He's still trying to match religion with wrestling. The first show of Devotion Championship Wrestling started with an intergender Samoan death match where they hit each other with tiki torches and rubber alligators, and they had a 12-year-old referee. Please shout out to the world that this sucks.
First of all, you got on set. This doesn't get me hot because I'm so over Jim Cornette and his shtick, and it's not even funny anymore. First of all, bro, Devotional Championship Wrestling was a company before I had anything.
Right, you didn't name it. You didn't name it.
I had nothing to do with it, bro. Nothing. Okay. Second of all, bro, the company is run by a great guy. Really, a sweet bro. I wanted to do nothing with wrestling anymore. I knew Manny Lemons. His real name is Manny Smith. I knew Manny because he wrestled some at Rocky Mountain Pro. Okay? Bro, he was asking me for a year to go to Utah and help them out with the show. And I kept saying, Manny, I don't want to, man. I really don't want to. Finally, bro, Manny said, Vince, it's our first year anniversary. So like right there, so you guys know, this company was in existence called Devotion Championship Wrestling for a year before I did anything on this show.
Right, and it's in Utah, correct? And that's a religious town, so that would make sense.
Let me cover the whole story, bro, okay? Because again, you know, when I tell you how things happen, and then you listen to Jim Cornette. Okay, bro, who's full of shit and who's just making shit up? So Devotion Championship Wrestling was in existence for a year before I ever got there. Okay, that's number one. I had nothing to do with the name of it, Nothing. Number two, the 12-year-old referee is Manny's son, and the 12-year-old referee has been refereeing for Manny since they started the company. So
since he was 11.
I have nothing to do with the 12-year-old referee.
You see how easy it is to connect the dots, though? Like, which these people can't do. They can't put it together for some reason.
That's Manny's son, who was refereeing matches long before I got there. Okay. Well, Manny's wife is Samoan, and her wrestling name is Raka Tika. She's 100% legit Samoan. And she speaks the Samoan language. And guys, I have to tell you, I swear to God, guy, I'm telling you, I've worked with some really tough girls, women in the business, really tough women. Bro, this girl is about, and bro, you know what, like when you think of Samoans, you think of like big girls.
Right. Nia Jax.
Bro, this woman, Rika, I mean, literally could be a swimsuit model. She's drop dead gorgeous. She's got her body is like rock hard, perfect. Okay. But, bro, the toughest woman I've ever worked with in the business, ever. She is legit. Like, bro, she will kick your ass. Right. So now, bro, you have to understand, I'm writing a show. Bro, the only talent on this show are Manny's students. He doesn't fly in any names. There's about maybe 12, man, bro, there's about 12 students who attend his school. I am writing the show around these students. Okay. So, bro, before I got there, they already had this intergender match between Rika and this other guy. The guy's name is Blake Porter. They had already had a match. So now, bro, when I entered the scene, I booked the return match, but it was under Rika's rules, because she is a Samoan. So she proposed the match as a Samoan death match. It was her match. And bro, if you saw this girl, I mean, literally, bro, in a shoot, she probably could have taken the guy. So, you know, again, bro, when you look at all that, and then you hear Cornette and you hear his little, you know, his little sidekick. Oh, ho, 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 ho. Bro, that's why, bro, I could give a shit what Jim Cornette has to say. It means nothing to me. He can go on and on. Bro, they brought up clips that Jim Cornette said about me on the Brawl for All. And I'm like, guys, you're not, what do you want me to say? Do you want me to turn around and cut a 12-year-old promo on Jim Cornette? I have no interest in doing that, bro. Jim Cornette's in my rearview mirror. Jim Cornette has been in my rearview mirror for freaking decades. But you see, bro, how, you know, that clip you played compared to the reality of the situation.
That's how they rewrite the history, Vince. Right, whereas your story's always been the same, but they got to put their spin on it and twist it around and change things, and it works out in their favor. And then you got the people who can't comprehend, they can't free think.
Right.
That, you know, just run
they
along.
They believe everything they hear.
And, bro, it's funny, too, just so you know, too, like when I started working for Manny, that was like one of the first. Bro, it's not a Christian wrestling company at all. And like, bro, that's what I thought. Because when I saw the name Devotion Championship Wrestling, I said, Manny, I said, what is this, like, a, you know, bro, because, you know, Utah with the, you know,
Mormons.
That's the first thing I thought. It wasn't. I like, bro, it has nothing to do with Mormons or Christianity. It's I have no idea why he named it that, but it's got nothing to do with that.
Makes sense. I mean, yeah. When I heard the clip, that's what I took from it. I'm like, okay, they're in Utah. It's very religious, regardless of the religion. And then he's automatically just pinning it on you.
Right.
And talking about marrying religion and wrestling. It's like, well, I know that that's been a thing for like a year and you just started doing it. So how could you have possibly named a company that has been in existence before you even arrived? So
that's what they do, bro. That's exactly what they do. Exactly what they do.
And being journalists that we are, this is the stuff that we unfold here. We use common sense and we unfold the truth and we go to the horse's mouth. We don't just make things up as we will. We have Russo here to talk about it.
If I did all that, I'd have no problem saying I did all that. No, bro. The first show I did was their year anniversary. They'd been doing it for a year under that name. The referee is the guy's son. The Samoan is a legit Samoan that, like, literally, bro, this girl would beat the shit out of me as a shoot. I know. So, you know, again, he's referring to something he hasn't seen. He knows nothing about. Whatever, Jim. Get a freaking life already, man.
Now that's not going to happen.
The guy's made a living off of me. It's like, well, okay, Jim, we get it. I'm a shit stain. I name wrestling companies over. I try to make them religious. Okay, we get it, bro.
All because of how you decide to write a wrestling show, which is still mind-boggling to me. Exactly. Pure hatred because of that.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
We are here with El Americano 7 and El.
It was a pretty hot topic between our video of it on YouTube and then obviously on the podcast and everything. What did you guys, what kind of feedback you guys been getting on that?
Well, I'll jump in here right here and say very quickly after we went after Cornette, I got the block. Did you guys get the block? I got the block.
We all had the block. We went after the second hit. What's his laughing boy name? What's the
Brian,
co-host fella?
Brian the Great Last.
Right.
I did air quotes.
Okay. Well, we saw it. He dummied up and wouldn't even respond, that freaking Yahoo.
I will say though, he didn't block. You know they both saw this, right?
But, of course.
But he didn't do the block, but Cornette did. So I challenged Last. I was like, okay, so are you going to defend the honor of your hero there, or are you just going to be the laugh track? And I didn't get a response to that either. I mean, that's the thing. It's like we came with facts. We came with knowledge and facts, and Matt, you couldn't even dispute what we were coming with.
Undisputable.
It was. It really was. They had nothing to say. So in typical Cornette, this is what he does, right? When he goes on his podcast, he chatters, because no one disputes it. But the minute someone does and happens to be right when he's wrong, then he just blocks them.
Because
he knows he can't defend himself.
I saw the same thing. I had the block. Apparently, because I went on to follow you, and I couldn't see the tweets anyway. So of course I had already been blocked, probably from just maybe saying, hey, I heard that the color red isn't your favorite color. And he's like, well, how dare you do that damn here? And God probably damn, blocked me for something. Red.
Well, it's funny you say that, Ocho, because just ironically, a couple of weeks ago, he threw out one of his, you know, random political posts. And so I responded with something that I thought was, you know, obviously just a fair rebuttal back to him. Wasn't anything derogatory, and boom, I got the block.
You've been getting that a lot lately, Six. You've been very respectful and you're getting the block.
I was looking for some dialogue. You want to have some dialogue? Let's start dialogue. Why can't we go back and forth? Cause we have differing opinions. And instead of any type of dialogue, I just got the block. So, you know, that's, you know, so is it shocking anybody that that's what we're getting from Jim Cornette when we're presenting facts and evidence to
real journalism.
And not even like, oh, I didn't know. I misspoke or I thought something. Nope. It's just, how dare you try to go against my narrative spin is what it was.
Well, you know, the thing is, it was like a month ago that him and Meltzer were feuding back and forth on Twitter, right? He didn't even attempt that with us because he doesn't know what he's dealing with. He knows with Meltzer, he has him wrapped around his finger.
A pushover, right? Sure, yeah, sure.
Right. But the grapplers aren't pushovers. Absolutely not. We have made history with being mark slayers. Okay. So, Cornette, we won this battle. Keep in line, or we'll be back.
Oh, we'll be back. There's no question.
It's Chris on the match.
I'm lost of words.
The original trash head, Chris Evans.
If a guy didn't get cracked open, he wasn't really wrestling.
Chris on the mat.
You can make people sit their butts in those seats. Your box office.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
You're changing your Depends over to diapers.
It's Turnbuckle Trash time once again with Dave and Chris on the mat. James Christopher Evans from North Carolina. How things going on in North Carolina?
It's a beautiful day here in Winston-Salem. The sun is shining and people are going crazy for their toilet paper and everything else they can grab a hold of. And how is Turnbuckle Trash doing this day?
Well, the Turnbuckle Trash on this end of Utah is trying to apologize to you and to Zane. We actually had recorded a couple of segments to put together for Turnbuckle Trash just a few days ago, and I was hoping to have it up yesterday afternoon, and everything went haywire. I have no idea. I lost recordings. One recording just sounded like, it sounded like that.
It is what it is. What can you do? Things happen. So
yeah,
let's talk about everything that's going on with the WWE and their releases.
Wow, they are having some real problems with the WWE with all the releases. Yes, I'd heard it was like 40% of their staff as far as NXT talent, especially, and then some of the other things going on. It's amazing. You had names like Kurt Angle, Rusev, Drake Maverick, Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson, Aiden English, Maria and Mike Kanellis, the Epico and Primo, the Colons and referees and Heath Slater. You name it, man. There were some names that were actually let go by the WWE.
Well, there's some big names. I mean, you've got Heath Slater, you've got Zack Ryder, you got Curt Hawkins. I mean, the names just keep going on and on. And Rusev, and I mean, this COVID-19 has just taken control of America, and we don't know what's going to happen with these people. Maybe they can go to AEW. Maybe they can go back on the NBC. When this COVID-19 is finally, you know, under control. And I mean, I feel bad for every one of them, but the one I really feel bad for is Drake Maverick. I mean, he was living his dream. He put out a thing on Instagram and he was crying his eyes out. But I mean, Zack Ryder, he put out a brand new shirt that says not there. Not there.
I love Zack Ryder. What a great sense of humor he has.
And you would love Zack Ryder even this, because you know that he collects WWE and you know wrestling figures.
Oh yeah.
And this man has got a collection that's beyond earth belief. And I mean, he's not hurting for money, but I mean, I feel sorry for all these superstars that have been released because of this COVID-19.
Well, you know, there's a lot of speculation about what's going on. Before we started recording, you were telling me about a group that is speculating that it has to do with the XFL.
Honey, I've got some bad news for you.
Not now, Marge. I'm waiting for the new XFL season. Who will win this year's million-dollar game? Who? Who?
Honey.
The X is for extreme.
There is no XFL. The league folded.
Well, there's a group on Facebook right now. They're calling themselves Anonymous.
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 Oh, how I love when people call themselves Anonymous.
Yes, it is really bad. Anonymous, if you all watched the movie V for Vendetta and you saw the mask for V, that's what they're going at. And they're saying that they're going to come out and tell the real truth that's going on with the WWE, that they had to let all these people go because of the XFL. Guys, I'm going to say this right now. It is total horse manure. And I don't believe. I really don't believe.
I'm dubious because if they really were going to have true information, don't call yourself anonymous. Say who you are, back it up, and you know, and take pride that if you can find information about the XFL's demise being a part of this. Now, before we get into more discussion, Oliver Luck, a former NFL quarterback who was the commissioner for the XFL, is actually suing Mr. McMahon for unlawful termination when everything was taken care of. I guess he had some sort of contract with him, maybe it was guaranteed. I don't know all the details, but Oliver Luck is suing Vince McMahon for that.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, you're in the radio personality, and you're in the ins and outs of everything with the public. Do you honestly believe that the XFL, and with all the sponsorship that they've had, could this actually have happened?
Well, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you why I think that that the demise of the XFL happened. Their ratings were okay, but the overall expense, and then you're talking the networks, and then when that COVID-19 hit, their source of revenue to take away some of the financial burden that they had as a startup company was taken away. I mean, let's say, you know, let's just say $100 you had invested into something. You and $100 to me is a lot of money, you know. But
to
let's
me
say,
too, yes.
Yeah, somebody said to me, "I want you to do $100 worth of work, but I'm going to pay you $20." What are you going to do? Yeah,
yes.
And I really think, you know, they had that $20, but they had invested $100. So when you start, you know, saying, "I want that other $80 to fill in all that," and you don't have it. I mean, that's the facts of life. Money, you know, is green, and sometimes you ain't got the green to be able to pay your bills. But if things would have continued on, who knows? I mean, they might have lasted a season, might have lasted 2 to 3 seasons, or might have even started building a big audience. We'll just never know at this point.
Well, I mean, Zane said it best that they were going to take a bath on this because the XFL really didn't work the first time. And we all knew that when the XFL, it was just a watered-down version of the NFL. They were supposed to have all these hard-hitting. But I'm sorry, Vince took a bath on this, and he had to bail. He had no choice.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
He had no choice, and yeah. So that means, I mean, he used his own money like we talked about before, but man, does it have to be, do you have to release wrestlers over the XFL?
You know, I don't think so, man. I can't see where it's all connected, you know, because of Titan Sports, the WWE, is a publicly traded company. Remember when that happened a few years ago? This is not just a family-owned company. If the XFL and the WWE were a family-ran company by the McMahons, I could see this happening. But I think there's other things at play here with the releasing of these wrestlers. And I'm no financial expert. I can't even balance my daggum checkbook, if you know what I mean.
Neither can I.
Yeah, but when you start thinking about what was going on in the WWE, there is a finite amount of money available for that company to operate. Since the beginning of, middle of March, there's no live events. Their TV expenses are high because they're having to do things from Florida, so their TV costs are high from Full Sail University, And then they have all these people, they're paying and they're paying and they're paying, and they can't get anything in return. Now, the live events make a finite amount of money for the WWE. They don't make a lot, but it's that drip in the bucket effect. You know, if you, once again, if you got that $100 and you've only got $20 to pay for that $100, you're going to be running into some problems. Now, not all the people who were released were fired and completely released. There were several of the trainers and several of the bookers that were furloughed. So they're still getting their health insurance paid. But it's the talent, people like Rusev and Drake Maverick, that they're out of work right now. And there's no real chance for them to find work immediately in the industry that they love. You know, that there's just no live wrestling happening. That's the fact.
Well, the thing of it is that they put a pay scale out for every wrestler that, you know, the top players. And let's say Triple H was like $3.2 million. Braun Strowman was $1.9 million. And so on and so on. Okay, well, that's fine. You're a billion-dollar company. That's a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
For this company, that's a drop in the bucket. So you're telling me that Drake Maverick could not have been held back just a little bit and say, look, we're gonna keep you on the card, but we're not gonna pay you what you have on your contract for right now until this epidemic is done. Rusev, we're not gonna be able to pay you your contract until this epidemic is done. I mean, if they can pay Triple H $3.2 million and Braun Strowman $1.9, you can't tell me they can't pay Drake Maverick and Rusev. There's no way.
Now, okay, I'm going to throw this right back at you here.
Okay,
because,
go right ahead, please.
Because of business. Let's say that Triple H, what'd you say, $3.9
million? $3.2 million, from what I understand. 3.2.
Okay, I'm just going to throw it back. And because we have seen something like this happen before in sports and everything, where a contract is renegotiated. Let's say that Hunter says, well, I don't need 3.2. Why don't we say right now, renegotiate for right now, and I'll take $2 million. So you can take that $1.2 million and help pay the salaries of some of the others. We've seen that happen in sports. There's been a lot of superstars who have renegotiated their contract to take less money so they could pay somebody else to come in and help them on their team. Now, whether that was ever thought about, whether that was ever done, I have no idea. But I'm surprised there hasn't been some renegotiation of some contracts. However, Chris, now I want you to think about this, okay?
Okay, go right ahead.
You take a company like the WWE, and what have we always been complaining about? Too many people to be able to give a proper push to.
That's true.
And this might be a way for them to say, you know what, we can take this opportunity now and back off and reform our company with fewer employees. Give more people a chance to become stars and make money off that. That to me makes sense. And saying, Drake Maverick, you're okay. You've done a good job for us, but we just don't have a real future for you here at this company. And that's why they get the wish you well in the future endeavors. I would not be surprised that when all this stuff started happening, that the higher-ups, and I'm not just going to say Vince Kennedy McMahon, I'm going to say the higher-ups, somebody mentioned this might have been an opportunity to retool the company to make it a more financially viable and to give other wrestlers a chance. Take you back to SmackDown last Wednesday night. Tommaso Ciampa doing his little comeuppance to Johnny Gargano and his wife, saying it's over with, you're the better man. And then he gets attacked by Killer Cross, and they've changed his name. So they are looking to build that company. But it was like the day after that, they started talking about dropping everyone. You know, so I think they have something in plan. And by the way, if you watch NXT this week on the 22nd, which we're recording on the 22nd, you will see Drake Maverick on there as part of that tournament. So for the Cruiserweight tournament.
I mean, he even said that in his Instagram post when he made his heartfelt little speech. He said, well, I was in the tournament and they kept me around for the tournament. But then afterwards, when they were still taping it, they told me, you know, we're sorry, but we're just going to have to let you go. And I feel really bad for that man because he hit the big time. He was from TNA Impact, and he went to the WWE, and now he's going to have to go back to Impact, maybe. We don't really know.
Yeah, we don't know. He's a big enough name that he'll land on his feet. Now, he is from England now. Remember that? He's got that accent. And how he got his break in the business was TNA, you know, they were really big in Britain for years.
They had
a competition show, kind of like NXT used to be. It was a future star type thing.
Yeah, it was.
And that was when he was Rockstar Spud. I think he either won the competition or came in second. They saw something in him because he has a good personality, can cut a good promo. And that's when he got to TNA, the, quote, bigger roster. And then he's made a pretty good name for himself, and I'm sure he's got a little coin, you know. But you still feel bad for any of these guys that are losing their jobs.
Well, I feel bad for everybody that loses their jobs because, like the MK Bandit says, this is going to hit everybody so hard. And thank you, MK Bandit, for that wonderful interview on the last podcast. You did a wonderful job. I learned a lot from you. From what you said, I mean, and I mean, like I said, I feel bad for all these wrestlers that are losing their jobs. The AAA, and even Devotion. I mean, I cannot wait to hear Manny Lemons let us know what's going on with Devotion Championship Wrestling, and I hope they're doing okay. But with all this that's going on, man, I really don't know.
Well, you know, we're going to try to hook up with Manny Lemons and talk to him. And if it's not on this podcast, it'll probably be on the next. But I did notice today on Facebook that they have started a GoFundMe account because so many people that are fans of this independent organization want to help out. And they're not asking for a lot of money. So this GoFundMe account, they're saying, hey, if you donate $5, you're not going to go away with nothing for your $5. The next live event, your ticket is $5 less.
Hey, Manny, if you can get me a shirt with your likeness on it, I'll gladly give you $10 right now. Tombstone Jesus, I would gladly give you $10 for one of your shirts or $20. I don't care. I'm a Tombstone Jesus fan. Come on, guys.
I will get you hooked up with Tombstone. I will get you hooked up with Tombstone.
I am really impressed with Tombstone Jesus. With his Facebook pages that he had. I mean, I'm a big Tombstone Jesus fan now, thanks to you very much. I really like that guy, and I wish him the best. But the way this COVID-19 is going right now, I feel bad for these guys. I really do, because, I mean, even here in Winston-Salem, they have really just knocked down everything with professional wrestling. MLW or AEL, I think it's AML. They were supposed to have a wrestling organization here, and it's just been, the brakes have been pumped. They're not doing anything. I feel really bad for these guys because this is the only way that they know how to make their living right now. With Tombstone, he is really, I mean, even with this COVID-19, that man still is broadcasting every day on Facebook. And he is making himself well known. Congratulations.
Yeah, and have you listened to his music?
I'm going to get into it.
Yeah.
I'm really going to get into it.
I'll tell you what, I'll find we did, right after we did an interview with Tombstone, I did some stuff called Mountain Metal Minute. It just gave you a taste of his music, which is it's pretty good. The guitar work is incredible. And then I'll play one of those Mountain Metal music bits for you here, and I'll send you a couple of them so you can listen to them. So
this is a Turnbuckle Trash.
Mountain Metal.
Tombstone Jesus.
Tombstone Minute. Jesus Minute.
Well, the Brother Smith, the tag team champions, I'm going to have to give them credit. The only, they said, if we win the lottery, what would you change about us? I couldn't help myself. I said, get better tag team belts, please. If you win the lottery, get better tag team belts, please.
You're mean.
I can't help myself.
Oh,
I'm
those
sorry.
Are great guys. Great guys.
Yes, those guys are really good. And I mean, I have a very, I have a lot of respect for Devotion Championship Wrestling. You guys put on one heck of a show. I keep watching it on YouTube. I love every minute of Devotion. I'm starting to become a fan of Devotion Championship Wrestling.
Now, have you watched the ones that had, Andrew Sowell yet when he was in the ring?
Well, you know, like I always said before, Andrew likes to play with championship belts and duct tape.
Yes, he does. So, but kind of watch that, and you'll see off in the background with a couple of the things that I went to. You'll be able to see me in the background there. I'm the big guy with the beard and everything. So
there you go.
Yeah, it's a fun place to go. Let's get back to some of these wrestlers who've been released, because there has been a little bit of news about that. There's been a lot of talk about Sarah Logan, who's married to one of the Viking Raiders. She was released, but there's always been talk immediately about her possibly coming back. And I think Ruby Riott even mentioned her in a promo on Monday Night Raw. So be looking for her to come back, because evidently she's very well thought of backstage, and people are really fighting for her job. So we hope that does happen for her. And then Rusev, there's been a lot of talk. Even Jim Ross talked about the possibility of him coming to AEW. I'd like to see him as a heel. You know, like when Rusev crushed, I'd love to see that. Uh-huh.
Well, Jim has been talking. I mean, he was very adamant on his podcast about the releases on the WWE. And he said, you know what, if you're going to release these guys, let them have a job here with us. And a lot of people were downplaying that. But the way that I see it is, why downplay something that this is how they make their living? This is what put foods on their, this is what put food on the table. And that's all they know. Let them go to AEW. Who gives a flying flip?
Well, most of these guys, most of these guys will have what's called a 90-day non-compete. Very common in wrestling and in a lot of the entertainment industry. And there's some businesses that deal with, you know, technology. They'll have a non-compete, whether it's 6 months, 90 days, or a year. Some places in the entertainment industry, my industry, I know there's been 1 year where you can't work in the same market. I had a friend of mine that lost his job in Baton Rouge, and he had no job for a year because of his non-compete for 1 year. And then he showed back up and started kicking the radio station's tail, you know, so he was just that good. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, and we're talking like these guys don't have money. Some of these guys are paid very well. Now, someone like a Curt Hawkins, you know, he was a jobber. He knew that. Mm-hmm. I'd still bet he's up in the $200,000 a year range, at least.
Oh, he has to be. I mean,
so he's got a little. He's got a little coinage. We're not talking about them, you know, being on the soup line right away. It's just the opportunity to be able to make money, and that's why we feel bad for them.
Well, I mean, with Kirk Hawkins and Zach, I mean, they have enough figures right now. They can shoot. If they put them on eBay for what they have, and they have the signed people that, I mean, I watched Zach Ryder and Kurt Hawkins one time, and Kurt Hawkins did, he would go and buy these figures, and he would have the wrestlers sign them for him. And I mean, if he was hard up for money, put that on eBay. I'll make you a bet. It'll be, people will be betting on these things for, good Lord, it's no telling.
Yeah, that's true.
Because,
or you can, I mean, send some free to me. That'd be fine too. So
there you go, right there too. I mean, I see on eBay right now for championship belts, they go for $400 to $500, and there's one here in North Carolina right now. It's a signed Ric Flair NWA championship belt, and it's already in. It's $100. Or more. And you can see Ric Flair actually signing the belt that he has, and the man put it up for $150, and I put it in the bid for $100. I don't think I'm going to win it. If I do, I'll send it to you as a Christmas present. but this COVID-19 has really hit the wrestling industry pretty hard, and I'm really shocked of all the wrestlers they have let go and the staff they have let go as of now.
Yeah. You know, I haven't heard them really talk about office staff. I would like to know if they've cut office staff and the support staff, not the bookers and things, but the people that are in the offices working every day, making sure business is taken care of, and not just the wrestling business, but that would be kind of interesting to find out too. So
I would love to see what the NWA is doing right now, what TNA is doing right now, what Ring of Honor is doing. And you don't really hear too much about Ring of Honor.
No.
I mean, I don't even hear too much about NWA.
Yeah, I haven't followed them. You know, and there's probably reason for that. They might have just said, we're going to shut things down. We'll just do the bare minimum until it's time for us to be back. And that's a good business strategy too. There are lots of programs out for smaller businesses. And I'm not saying ROH is a small business, but they are owned by Sinclair Broadcasting, a very successful broadcasting group.
Yes.
And then you've got the NWA, Billy Corgan, very successful musician and businessman. They might just be saying, let's just take a step backwards, slow things down, and look and see what we can do. Where I think the WWE has gotten into a problem is still trying to come up with, 3, 5, 7 hours of live TV per week. My idea would have been, you know what, we're going to take maybe NXT and slow them down, cut them down, and then take some of the product they had on the WWE network and put it in the place of the NXT, so they didn't have to have so many people there. I mean, Stone Cold talking to The Undertaker.
Oh, that was awesome.
It was incredible. Gosh. They have some programming on the WWE network that if you don't have the network, you can't see. But boy, I think some of that stuff would have been very valuable for the WWE and for the USA network if they could have negotiated a deal to say, we're going to put this particular program on. Maybe it's a best of one wrestler. No, they've done that. The Road to WrestleMania, where they do the one they followed Kevin Steen all the way up to WrestleMania of last year. Incredibly done. And the Becky Lynch stuff. I think that would have been a better idea for them instead of trying to come up with 7 hours of live TV with all the problems that it can do. And once again, live TV is tough. It is tough. Not only writing the stories, but getting the support staff and all that. Yeah. Doing something. And speaking of that, Chris, I don't know if you saw the Facebook post today, but in Florida, one anonymous person says that they are being pressured to work for these live TV events. And this was someone who works behind the scenes, whether a cameraman, a griff, a sound engineer or what, but they're being basically forced to work. And I'm going, if you don't want to work, don't work. You might need the money, but you know what? If you really feel that bad, I'm sure that you could find a way to fund yourself for a couple of weeks anyway. So well, I don't know how much I believe that. And I feel bad for them if they did, and it's not right. You should never force anyone to work saying, because this is going on, then you better work or you're going to get fired. It's more like, can you work during this time, please? That's what I would do.
That's just like with my work right now. I mean, we're essential, and we have to distribute the vegetables and the fruit and everything that people need. We're essential, but my health is and my well-being is more essential than, you know, getting a box of cabbage that you can sell for. Like, if this man is being truthful for what he says, I want to sit down and talk to him and say, okay, what did the WWE say to you? Please tell us what was said to you that you are essential. Wrestling is not essential in life right now, although to the wrestling fans, we want every last drop that we can get our hands a hold of.
Yeah.
But is it essential for wrestling?
I don't know about that. Remember the Florida governor? The Florida governor said it was essential because it was giving people a release and some entertainment.
Yeah.
He's caught a lot of flack from that. He actually had to make a comment.
Well, that's fine and dandy. I mean, but you tell me this, and you've been in this industry with business and radio before, long before I was ever born. I mean, if they told you, look, we want to continue the radio, but we're just going to, you know, half it out because it's essential, would you still go to the radio broadcast and do this? Even if you know that you're going to possibly get this disease, this virus.
Well, you know,
would you still go?
Well, you know, I'm a lucky man because my boss has set me up to where I'm doing my radio show from home.
From home.
But okay. if you want to take it that far, mm-hmm. what about these people that are on the front lines? I mean, the healthcare professionals, police officers, the firemen, you know, they are essential. And I'm just wondering, you know, and because most of the cases now are coming from the healthcare industry, most of the newer cases.
A lot, yes.
So I'm not gonna belittle them by any means, but I am a lucky man. Because I have that opportunity to work from home. And I think most of the people that go into an industry like healthcare, and I'm not speaking for everybody, and also people, you know, the fire department, the ambulance drivers, and the police, they understand that they have a risk. And I think they're, and I'm going to say most of them are dedicated enough to understand that risk. We're hearing wonderful stories about doctors who are living in trailers that have been donated to them from, you know, people that have campers and stuff, so they don't have to go home and, you know, and get their kids involved with this or their parents. You're hearing people that are donating thousands of dollars to restaurant employees or to healthcare officials. This is bringing out the best and worst of humanity. And
It is. Yeah.
And a lot of more so the best. But you all, you know, if you watch live PD like I do, the last couple of weeks, there's always been some drunk idiot, and I'm going to say drunk idiot because most of the time they're bombed off their gourd, are telling the police after they're being arrested, they're coughing on them, and they're saying, I have COVID-19, and I hope you get it. Well, those people are complete, total douchebags, excuse my French. They're idiots. Well, they don't deserve to get any kind of respect from me, and they're not going to get it.
Well, I mean, I'm with the search and rescue unit here in North Carolina. I mean, we started passing out food for people, and we have masks, although I didn't put one on. I really don't care because you have a better way of doing things. And I told this to somebody. You have a, It was Michelle Mangrum. I said, you have more of a way of getting this by being slapped by a clown, by farting a rainbow, than getting this disease, as long as you stay away from folks and keep your distance. But to me, I mean, this is not life. But right now, we're having a problem with this disease, and it's just, it shut everything down, and we've never had something like this before. It's knocked us down, but we know that it's going to die down soon, and everybody's going to come out, and we're going to watch wrestling again, and everybody on the podcast is going to start talking again about, oh, AEW is beating WWE in the ratings. Who cares? Okay?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Who cares?
Who cares?
Well, there are certain states that are starting to slowly open back up, and I think this going to be a slow roll. And the scary thing is, the director of the CDC yesterday said, watch out for this winter when it's cold and flu season again. We might see a recurrence of this. So I'm just the people that are listening to this right now, just take the precaution. We'll get through this portion of it. And then when things open up and things look like they're rolling again, take the opportunity to buy a couple extra rolls of toilet paper and some hand sanitizer. And so you won't have to worry about the hoarding.
It's in the South. If you see one snowflake, get the bread and milk. Now that you have this virus, it's get the toilet paper. Folks, listen, go to the old timers and the old people that have lived before this virus, and they can tell you everything is going to be just fine. Don't panic. Everything is going to be fine. And with everybody losing their jobs, I feel so bad for them. Don't get me wrong. I do. With my job, it's the same thing. I work with the public. I don't know what you have. With you work at home, and you don't have nothing to worry about. With Zane, he works with the public, and now that he was sick.
Yeah, I think the whole thing is that we just don't need to completely panic, but not panic, plan.
Yes.
That makes sense. No panic.
Oh, yes.
Plan. For the opportunity, this is going to happen again. And the thing that scares me, the next pandemic might be a little bit worse. And then people are going to be not ready for it again. Now, nobody's going to ever be ready for everything. I realize that. But let's try not to panic. Let's plan.
With TNA and the NWA, we know that they've already taped everything. And it's all in the can. It's ready to go. With the WWE, Monday Night Raw, it was asleep, basically. I didn't like it. Let's see what happens to SmackDown.
Yeah. And there's going to be AEW tonight. They're continuing with their programming. And I haven't heard about any kind of real problems at AEW, but they're a startup company. Got a lot of money behind them. So we'll just have to see. That's the big thing. We're just going to have to wait and see, ride this out, enjoy what you can of professional wrestling, and just get ready for when everything is open, because there's going to be a lot of shows up.
AEW is doing really well. I'm proud of them, and I hope they keep it up. And with TNA, they've already got, they got so many shows in the can. Hopefully they let Tessa Blanchard lose that title eventually. I'm just getting tired of that right now. But, I don't know what else to say or do, but Devotion, we talked about this before with Jim Cornette, how he got Devotion so wrong. I went back and I listened to what he said, and I talked to you about it, and you are correct. This man did not get anything correct.
Not a thing.
At all.
Not a thing. He was out there, boy. Yeah. So
Jim, I'm sorry, but you need to do your research before you open your mouth, because you got everything wrong about Devotion.
Yeah.
Everything wrong. And I hate to say that about Jim Cornette, but he buried himself with that, and I cannot wait to hear what Vince Russo has to say about it. I mean, when are you going to have Vince on?
Well, we're hoping Zane's supposed to try to set that up, and we don't know when it's going to happen yet. But I'm hoping that I can get in touch with Zane, and we can get a time to possibly do that soon. So,
all right. Well, okay. Gentlemen, it was very nice to talk to everybody. Please, everybody, you know, just keep on the podcast or keep up with the Facebook page. Keep posting things that you like. And here's my thing. Who is the greatest referee of all time?
Well, I know Ian in DCW well, because he's on the page. He'll probably say himself, so.
Well.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute now. Andrew Stowell would say he's the greatest wrestler of all time. Uh-huh. But here, with Andrew, and I told him this on Facebook, I said, look, the only thing that you're good at is duct tape and championship belts and creating your own. Come on, dude. Really?
He's a great
guy. Give me a free T-shirt, and I'll promote you all the time. It's been really fun with you guys, and I enjoy every minute of a Turnbuckle Trash, and I love coming on this podcast. And Zane, I wish you could have been on here, and so we can have a three-way going. And Kelly, I know it's late, but happy birthday.
That's true.
Happy birthday to Kelly. Everybody, please, if you get on the podcast, I know it's late, but wish this man a happy birthday.
Okay.
He deserves it. He does deserve it.
Yes, he does. Well, Chris, all right. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks, okay?
All right. Talk to you all later on.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Yep.
This is a Turnbuckle Trash.
Mountain Metal.
Tombstone Jesus.
TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, and in the immortal words of Ric Flair, woo!
To make sure everybody stays 6 feet away from me. I like pizza.
I still wear my Happy Rusev Day T-shirt.
I have no interest in doing that.
She puts the hot in hot tea.
Yes.
I think that that's a good thing.
Cross.
Killer Croc. Yeah.
Yeah, Killer Croc. That's Batman.
I call him Croc. Yeah, darn it.
Not any of that fake stuff.
No.
The real wrestling with people in there chanting and having a good time. And
That's the first thing I thought.
I don't know. It's just weird seeing the WWE cut people this fast and this quick.
How dare you try to go against my narrative?
Good Lord, where are they going to put everybody?
I had nothing to do with it.
Burger King's always hiring for some of these guys.
But the minute someone does and happens to be right when he's wrong, then he just blocks them.
It is total horse manure.